Welcome to the March 25th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and cover the biggest stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. So Bitcoin hasn't been doing that good over the weekend. It went right up against that $4,000 level again, like on Saturday just after midnight, and it's been declining since then. So rolling back a bit, if you go back to Thursday, on Thursday Bitcoin went as high as $4,055. It looked like it was trying to really get through that $4,000 resistance level, but the resistance pushed it back, and Bitcoin went as low as $3,920. Simultaneously, the total crypto market crashed from $142 billion down to $138 billion at that moment. So this $4,000 resistance level has been holding strong. It's been in place since March 15th, the day that Bitcoin broke through $3,900. So $3,900 was an equally strong resistance level. Bitcoin eventually got through it, but it took a lot of time and a lot of pushing against it. $4,000 is the same way. But right now, Bitcoin has gotten a little more pessimistic. So after hitting that level again on Saturday, Bitcoin has been declining a bit, and now it's at $3,950 with a general downward trend. From Saturday through Sunday, now into Monday, Bitcoin is slowly declining. So before, it looks like the buying pressure was pretty strong and just pushing up against that resistance. And now it seems like the buying pressure is slacking off a bit. We got some selling pressure that's outweighing the buying pressure at the moment. So the crypto market is looking bearish this morning. It's actually right around noon right now. And everything's pretty much in the red. All the major cryptocurrencies are in the red. Ethereum is down 1.1%. Ripple down 1.3%. Litecoin down 1.2%. It's just below $60 now. So Litecoin was the one that was really leading the market upwards until we hit these resistance levels. So there was a resistance level at $4,000 for Bitcoin, and all the other major cryptos kind of hit their resistance level too. And now everything's pulling back. Ripple and Ethereum are doing particularly bad over the last week. They've declined a lot, actually. And Litecoin is kind of steady in the last week, but it's down today 1.2%. EOS is down 0.5%. Bitcoin Cash down 3%. Binance Coin down 1.6%. But Binance Coin actually had a pretty big rally over the weekend, and now it's near $17. It's at a $2.36 billion market cap. It's not that far behind Bitcoin Cash. Bitcoin Cash has a $2.84 billion market cap. Maybe eventually Binance Coin could overtake Bitcoin Cash if things go well for Binance Coin. Well, anyways, here's what Binance did to make Binance Coin go up. So they changed their Binance Launchpad from being first come, first serve. And by the way, like, their Binance Launchpad ICOs were selling out within 1 minute. I think the last one sold out within like 10 seconds or something, because they made their software even faster. Like, the first one took a minute, and they said, oh, it would have like taken a few seconds if there wasn't lags in the software. Well, anyways, they turned it into a lottery. So it's not first come, first serve. If people hold over 100 Binance Coin, and that's like $1,500 or more now, it's like almost $1,700, that's what 100 Binance Coin is now. So if someone holds like a lot of Binance Coin, basically, then they get a lottery ticket, or they get put into a lottery, and they're likely to receive an opportunity to buy that ICO coin. And basically, so the only way to really participate in the Binance Launchpad now, which has been very successful, like the Binance Launchpad, the coins that have been launched in there have seen like major gains, like BitTorrent Token has a USD return up to now of 540%, and then Fetch AI has a 141% return, and Celer, C-E-L-E-R, has a 300% return. So, like, these coins have been making a lot of money because they've been, like, the hottest ICO, so people are, like, speculating a lot of them, and they're only releasing a small amount of their coin supply, like 6% when they launch on the launch pad. So that kind of makes it so the demand is much more than the supply, at least at these initial moments after their ICO. So the price, if it goes up a lot, it creates the perfect scenario for a pump and dump, and people will make a lot of money from playing this pump and dump if they can actually buy the coin right when it launches on the launch pad. So now they've turned it into, like, you have to hold a bunch of Binance Coin in order to be the first one to get those coins, or to even get those coins at all from the launch pad. So people bought up a lot of Binance Coin over the weekend, and it's almost at $17. I remember it was around like $15 before the weekend, so it went up a lot, but now it's going down a little bit today with everything else. Stellar is down 2%. Cardano, not doing good today. It's down 5.1%, and I remember Cardano on Friday, they were up like 10%, so they're giving back some of those gains now. Tron is down 3.7%. Bitcoin SV down 2.3%. Monero down 0.8%. IOTA down 2.4%. Dash down 2%. And then Dogecoin is up 0.2%. Whoa, much wow, such excite. So Dogecoin is the only major cryptocurrency that's up today, and that's the beauty of Dogecoin sometimes. Sometimes when everything else is like crashing, Dogecoin could be going up. But in general, it's a pretty bad day on the crypto market. And you can even look at Dogecoin's weekly trend. It's down a lot on the week. It's down to a $243 million market cap. So it's a bearish day on the crypto markets. Much worse than we've seen in like the past week or so. Like last week, Bitcoin really was trying to push past 4,000, and there was a lot of upward pressures in the market. And today, it's kind of letting go. It's letting loose. And there's no clear reason why this is happening. It might have to do with the overall, like, global economy. It's because the stock market crashed a lot on Friday. It went down, like, 400, 500 points on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And then today, it's up a little bit. I mean, it's kind of struggling. It went down, like, 100 points just after the open, but now it's up. So maybe part of the reason crypto was rallying was because the stock market was starting to look really scary. Like, going down 400, 500 points a day could be really bad if it keeps going down the following days. But today, it's not going down anymore, at least at this moment. So the stock market's looking like maybe it's not going to collapse exactly right now in the short term. So maybe people are keeping their assets in stocks instead of diversifying into Bitcoin. This is just speculation, but there is probably some sort of link between the crypto market and the stock market. Like, let's say the stock market really does get ugly. It would be likely that people would diversify into Bitcoin, because if the stock market really gets ugly, the US dollar would probably get pretty weak too, and then Bitcoin would be one of the best things to have to hedge against the stock market. So I think if we see a big stock crash, which will happen at some point eventually, that's just how the market works, Bitcoin would be in an optimal position to go up and really have a rally. That might be what brings about the next crypto bull run, but it's not happening today. All right, moving on to our first interesting story of the day. So to continue the bearish news, Bitmain's IPO is expiring today. So basically, they applied for an IPO, initial public offering, on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange, HKEX. They applied 6 months ago, and if there's not a hearing within 6 months of applying, the application expires. So there is going to be no Bitmain IPO, at least on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange, at least now. I'm sure they could apply again if they want to, but here's what happened, basically. So they applied for the ICO during the twilight of the last crypto rally. Like, crypto market was already going down a lot by then. But, you know, they were still making sales, and the mining industry wasn't so wrecked at the point they applied for the IPO 6 months ago. But it got pretty bad. Like, basically what happened is the Bitcoin mining hash rate, like, went down, like, 50%, which means, like, half of all the mining equipment in the world for Bitcoin was turned off, because literally it was using up more electricity than it was making in Bitcoin. It was unprofitable, so it was better for people to turn it off. And that means, like, big mining manufacturers like Bitmain weren't able to sell anything, really. Maybe their sales were, like, a little trickle, but they probably had, like, massive inventories building up, and they had, like, no sales. It was, like, a real disaster for Bitmain and the other major mining manufacturers. Some mining companies went out of business, I believe, like, GMO Internet, I think. Like, so there were some people cutting-edge mining technology that they were producing that, like, literally went out of business. Bitmain survived because they're the biggest one, but they did pretty bad in this mining manufacturing bear market. So the Hong Kong Stock Exchange basically said, you know, we don't believe in your business model and you're not allowed on the exchange. And that's pretty fair, because if they would have had an IPO, I bet it would have pumped a lot, because it would be like one of the, it would be like the biggest crypto IPO in history. And people might have speculated on it a lot and put a lot of money in it. Like, we're talking billions of dollars, and then it would probably crash really hard after that. So this prevented a disaster by not listing Bitmain. And if things get better in the future, Bitmain can easily apply again for an IPO. But of course, the people that reviewed the application this time might be like, hey, you know, it's going well now, but what happens if the market gets bad again like it did that time? You know, when everything looked golden and good and you guys were making tons of money, the whole market crashed anyways, and your company almost went bankrupt. So Bitmain's probably going to have a really hard time getting an IPO anywhere. I mean, they could probably get on a smaller exchange or something. They can go on the OTC market. That's what a lot of companies do in the United States. There's this over-the-counter OTC market. So for companies that are too weak to get on the main exchanges, they go on the OTC market. So Bitmain could probably do that at any time, actually. So maybe that's what they'll do eventually. And they could hype it up and call it an IPO. That's the speculation. All right, moving on to the next story. So there's this crazy story about Tim Draper making a bet with the Argentinian president. So Argentina has been having bad hyperinflation, and Tim Draper's made a bet that if Bitcoin is worth less than the Argentinian peso, then he'll invest double the money that he's investing into Argentina. So apparently he's investing money into Argentina, and he's trying to get the president to like adopt Bitcoin or something, and he made this bet, which is not even a bet. Like, the Argentinian peso is worth way less than a U.S. dollar. Literally, at this time, the exchange rate is 2.4 United States cents per Argentinian peso. So Tim Draper is saying if Bitcoin's worth less than 2 cents at some point in the future, he'll invest double the money into Argentina. Well, you know, Bitcoin's not going to be worth less than 2 cents under any circumstances ever. And the Argentinian peso is actually declining a lot in value. Like in 2014 or so, it was worth like over 10 cents or like 13 cents. And now it's worth 2 cents. So the Argentinian peso is one of the examples of a fiat currency that's experiencing pretty bad hyperinflation. Maybe not hyperinflation. It's almost hyperinflation. It's like inflation, crippling inflation. So, you know, this bet doesn't even make sense. And if Bitcoin crashed like that, I don't think Tim Draper would be able to invest any money in Argentina. So, yeah, that's just kind of like a weird, wild story for today. Another weird and wild news story for today is Hamas, which is like the terrorist organization that's been trying to destroy Israel for like years and years. They asked for Bitcoin donations. So what happened is Qatar, this country in the Persian Gulf that's pretty wealthy off oil money, was supporting Hamas between 2012 and 2018 and gave them $1.1 billion. And then in 2018, Qatar said, you know, we're going to have to cut you off. You know, the United States and the international community is basically saying you're terrorists. We know that, but, you know, now we can't really do anything or we're going to get declared terrorists. So Qatar stopped giving Hamas money. And then Hamas said, oh, we're just going to raise money with Bitcoin. And here's the thing about Bitcoin. You could send it anywhere in the world instantly and anonymously. So, like, you could send it to, like, the worst person in the world, technically. And that's why a lot of the mainstream media is like, oh, Bitcoin's used for terrorism or whatever. Well, here's a case example. They only raised $2,500 since asking for Bitcoin in 2018. And they've been pretty persistent, like, asking for it. Only $2,500 was donated. So some people still might try to spin this as, like, oh, wow, Hamas is raising money with Bitcoin. Nah, it just looks like no one really supports Hamas to me. Like, $2,500 is, like, half of Bitcoin. They probably gave it to them themselves just to say that they got anything. You know, that's, like, half of Bitcoin over the course of months and months. So the news today is Hamas is, trying to raise more Bitcoin. Their military wing is saying, oh, we need more Bitcoin. Because I guess $2,500 of Bitcoin's enough to buy, like, I don't know, like a gun or something, like one gun, or maybe like a poorly made bomb or something. So they need more Bitcoin, and it's funny that this story is happening today because Israel's blowing up Hamas today, because Hamas launched a missile into Israel and actually blew up like a neighborhood pretty much. No one died, but a lot of people got injured. A lot of houses got blown up by Hamas today. And now Israel's like totally destroying the Gaza Strip, which happens every few months. And, yeah, it's just kind of funny we're seeing this news today about how they want more Bitcoin right as they're getting blown up. Well, of course they do. All right, moving on to the next story. In other Middle Eastern news, so we've all been hearing about how ISIS, the Islamic State, got defeated in Syria. Well, Syria has been fractured into multiple different republics. It's kind of like Star Wars. You got the Republic, you got the Rebels, and then we got the Kurds who have the Rojava. Like, they have their Kurdish Republic up in the northeastern part of Syria. And apparently they're aiming for, like, a decentralized sort of governance where the resources are shared, like, equally. And they're trying to use blockchain technology and cryptocurrency. And the point of this is, basically, Syria went through hell because their government went, like, crazy with power and was doing bad things to various ethnic minorities, including the Kurds. And they don't want to repeat this. So they want a decentralized and transparent government that uses blockchain technology so that any government that's put in place in Rojava can, like, not do that again. Not become power hungry and, like, secretive and do things in the background. Like, everything would be above board and on the blockchain and transparent, and power would be shared equally. Resources would be shared equally. So that's the goal of this. It's a very ambitious project, especially because Turkey is trying to destroy Rojava and Kurdistan. Like, they already invaded part of Syria, and I think it was actually part of the Kurds' territory. And, you know, they're threatening to destroy the rest of this little Kurdistan that's popped up in Syria. So we'll see how this goes. The United States is basically the last thing holding back this area from being taken over by Turkey. And the United States said they're pulling up, and now they're not fully pulling out. They're leaving some people right there in Kurdistan to try to protect them because Kurdistan was like a major ally for the United States in the war against the Islamic State, and it would be pretty bad just to abandon them. But anyways, Kurdistan's actually, like, or Rojava, whatever you want to call it, they're trying to basically make their government, like, really futuristic and use this blockchain technology, because basically they're starting from scratch. You know, this is a country that is totally starting from scratch. The government there has been completely destroyed. Everything was pretty much destroyed, and now they're like, okay, what's the best way to, like, make a new country here? And they think it's blockchain technology, so I hope they do have the time, and they don't get, like, destroyed, and I hope they're able to, you know, get this running. It'd be a great example for the world of how you could use blockchain technology and cryptocurrency to run a country. And here's another factor. They're using the Syrian national currency still in Rojava because that's basically what they had left. Like, so they're, even though they totally fought a war against Syria, and they probably really dislike Syria, they still have to use the Syrian currency, so they want to go over to Bitcoin and cryptocurrency because they're totally sick of anything Syrian at this point. And what they're doing is they're trying to go from business to business to get cryptocurrency adoption going. The same thing's been going on in the United States, though. And, like, it seems like corporations and retailers in general, in the United States at least, like, they don't really want to put Bitcoin right on the counter. Like, there's been a few little mom-and-pop shops or just small stores in general, but not, like, whole entire retail chains that have accepted Bitcoin. But in Syria and Rojava, they have a really good reason to do this, so maybe it will actually work over there. And, you know, we'll keep our eye on this to see if Rojava, this Kurdish republic, can get cryptocurrency to be their national currency, and if blockchain technology could be used for their national governance. And that would be a really good case example for the world of the power of blockchain and crypto. One final piece of news for the day is that the leader of Bitcoin Cash, ABC, which is Bitcoin Cash, Amaury Sachet, I'm sure I didn't pronounce his name right. Anyways, he's been called the benevolent dictator of Bitcoin Cash, and he worked for Bitcoin Unlimited, and he was an essential figure in that fork where Craig Wright was making Bitcoin SV, and then this guy was making Bitcoin Cash ABC, and then now it's just called Bitcoin Cash. Anyways, he's leaving the company he worked for, but he's going to still be the dictator of Bitcoin Cash. I guess the company had nothing to do with it. So Bitcoin Unlimited is what he worked for. He's leaving them. He says that it got crazy. Well, I'll just read what he says. The BUIP, like the Bitcoin Unlimited approval process, has turned into a sad joke with proposals more and more absurd being voted on. The Bitcoin Unlimited leaders are complacent, and while saying that the attitude of the Bitcoin SV community will cost them developer support, they continue to enable the toxic behavior by supporting Bitcoin SV. So apparently Bitcoin Unlimited is producing software for like Bitcoin SV too. So they have the Bitcoin Cash wallet and then the Bitcoin SV wallet, because Bitcoin Unlimited is just kind of like a wallet producing company. They're not the ones that control Bitcoin SV though. That's Craig Wright and Engine, but they're still producing a form of wallet software for it. But anyways, so he's upset basically that they're supporting Bitcoin SV in any way and working on it at all. So we got the benevolent dictator Bitcoin Cash leaving Bitcoin Unlimited, and maybe this will cause yet another fork of Bitcoin Cash, because he says he's going to keep on doing what he's doing with Bitcoin Cash, but I'm sure Bitcoin Unlimited is not going to work with him, because basically they were working together to decide on the improvements for Bitcoin Cash, and now they're fighting, and they're probably going to both develop different versions, and this has just been the story of Bitcoin Cash from the beginning. So Bitcoin Cash started as a fight in the Bitcoin community over the block size debate and also over segregated witness. And because they couldn't agree, they're like, we're forming our own currency, Bitcoin Cash. And then they couldn't agree with each other, and then Bitcoin SV formed. And now they can't agree with each other even more. So it's just like fracturing down the line. It's like a fractal. They're just like splitting up in various different ways through the course of time, and we're going to end up with a lot of different Bitcoin Caches. And like I said, that's just like the theme of the Bitcoin Cash community. They've been fighting. That's what it's all about. Pretty much, like, they're fighting. Like, we got people saying, no I have the best idea. With Bitcoin, pretty much everyone's got to work together and have one version, and that's Bitcoin's been the strongest, most reputable cryptocurrency. And we have seen already from the low value of Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV versus Bitcoin that this doesn't work for someone to split off and say, I'm making a better version, you know, screw you guys, I'm gonna make a better version, I'm not working with you. So that hasn't been working for Bitcoin Cash or Bitcoin SV, and it's just continuing on. It's a story of fighting and divisions and splits and forks. So that's all we have for you today on this March 25th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode and go to crypto.iq 24/7 for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also join the crypto.iq trading desk. Even in the worst of the bear market, they've made 317% profits since July. And if you join the crypto.iq trading desk, you can see their trades in real time with a full trading analysis for each trade. And you could ask them questions in real time. So you could ask them any question you want, these expert crypto.iq traders, and they'll answer you in real time. So joining the crypto.iq trading desk is the best way to become an expert cryptocurrency trader. And there's a 2-week free trial right now. So just try it out. It's free for 2 weeks, and I'm sure you're going to love it. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.